Okay. For those of you who weren't here last Wednesday, we started a new series, and we're calling it Essentials. And what we're doing is we're looking at what you gotta believe as a Christian, what we gotta believe, the hard lines, not the soft lines. There's a whole lot of soft lines in Christianity where people believe differently about different stuff. These are the hard lines. And it's going to be really great because we're not just going to be looking at what they are, but we're going to be looking at the whole truth of these beliefs or doctrines. And then we're going to ask why we should believe them. What is the reason behind these beliefs that we should believe them? So like I said last week, you're going to learn some new words in this series. We did last week, right? New word. Do you guys remember? In air and sea. Okay, wow. Last week we looked at the inerrancy of Scripture. Can anybody tell me what that means? Inerrancy. Inerrancy. What'd you say, Adam? The Bible ain't wrong! Ding, ding, ding! Adam gets a billion points. Look, you all missed out on a billion points. So while we're going through this series, take notes. I encourage you, seriously. We're going to have a lot of mind-blowing moments. We have one tonight. It's going to blow your mind. Take pictures of the slides. If you're not a note taker, take pics of the slides. I'm cool with that. Ask hard questions like Cameron did. Where's Cameron? Cameron last week asking those hard questions. Ask hard questions. While we're going through the teaching, you can raise your hand and ask a hard question. I probably won't know the answer, and I might have to like research for weeks and weeks. But ask questions. Do it. So tonight, what we're going to look at, since we looked at the inerrancy of Scripture last week, this week, we're going to look at something that goes really hand in hand with it, and that is the belief in God. Yes. We about to get deep tonight. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Our brains are about to spin. Are you ready? Okay, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Let's all stand on our feet. Oh my goodness. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for your word, that it reveals so much to us that is beyond our own understanding. We pray that we would have minds by the power of your Holy Spirit that are able to learn from what you have for us this evening and able to grow deeper in what you're going to speak to us. We pray that you would silence our hearts so that we can receive as much as we can from you, that there would be no distractions, but that we would glean all that we can from this so important part of Christian belief. So we give you this teaching, pray that you would speak through me, fill me with your spirit, fill all of us to receive from what you have for us, and we pray that you would just speak in your name. Amen. So what I want to do in this series with most teachings, what I want to do is I want to start pretty much every teaching with a question. You guys can just raise your hand or you can shout out, I don't really care. How do we know that God exists? Jared. Bible, boom.
Cool.
Jason.
Okay, isn't it like the signs of our bodies, whatever?
Signs of the bodies.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what my teacher said.
Laminin.
I don't know what that means.
Laminin.
Like how our bodies work.
What's laminin, Chad?
It's the thing that holds your body together.
Yeah, it's a protein that holds our body together, and it's the shape of a cross. Alex. Ooh, bam! Uppercutted logic. Boom! World couldn't create itself. Yeah, Josh.
Scientists can't prove or see any debris from the Big Bang or what happened.
Oh, no big bang debris.
Why?
No BB debris.
No.
Anything else?
Yeah. Oh, wait, I also have another.
Another one. It's hard to make a neutron into a proton.
It's hard to make an explosion to make a force to make a neutron into a proton.
I'm not a chemist, so I don't know, but I would agree with that. Grace. Yes. Individual experiences, yes, for sure, definitely. Anybody else? Okay. So I wanted to ask this question to start, to kind of like get our brain thinking in this way. And this is a deep, deep question. It should and kind of will blow your mind. But here's the reason this is such a hard question. Like, it's hard to just kind of come up on your own with reasons why God exists. And there's a few reasons why. Technically two, so not a few, just two. That's our teaching slide. But first, the first issue is that this question has... Okay, I'm so like mixed up. The first issue with this question is humans cannot prove God. And you're going to have to track with me on this. So if your thinking cap is not on, turn it on right now. So proving God is a beautiful idea, but humans simply cannot do it. Here's the definition of to prove something: to demonstrate the truth or existence of something by evidence or an argument. So to prove the true and living God, we as people would need some way of directing God and then displaying whatever that direction of God would cause. Or we would need some way to successfully measure God and then record those measurements and translate them into meaning. But like I said last week, we do not have a godometer. A godometer? Like a measure of God. And people may be trying to develop a godometer, but I do not think we will ever have a godometer, a way to measure units of God. So simply put, mankind cannot prove God. But here's what's important. God can prove himself to man, and he has done this. So don't panic if you were like, what, God can't be proven? Don't panic. No, calm down. Take a deep breath. It's all good. So the second issue with this question, though, this is where things get really deep. Are you guys ready to dive deep? Are you ready? So the second reason this has an issue, this question, how do we know that God exists? The second issue is in the word exist. So the word exist gives us the idea of something living upon something or living within something. So a common example would be, we exist within time. We exist on planet Earth. You can even go so far as to say, we exist within reality. But God, and listen to this, because if you miss this, you will be lost for the rest of the teaching. God is not within existence. Rather, so keep tracking. Rather, God reveals himself into existence in many different ways. Yes. See, he creates things, and those things include time and existence. But he himself is outside of time and existence. Let me keep going, because I might answer your question, but remember it. Don't let go of it. So the issue with using the word existence is we can try to find God within existence, but we will not find God. What we'll find are revelations of God in existence. And those revelations of God are not God. Do you understand? So God reveals aspects of himself within existence, but those revelations of God are not God. These revelations can be signs of God, acts of God, works of God, words from God, but they are not God. So the word that we should use when we refer to God, the being of God, we should use the word God is. We can use this in a few different ways. This is how we see it in Hebrews 11, verse 6, our passage. We can say God is real, God is there. We can even say God is alive. But we should move away from saying God exists, because he is far beyond existence. How are we doing? Brain sizzle yet or no? How are we doing? Wait, I want to ask Cameron first. Do you still have a question? Okay, let me take Jackson's first then. What I'm saying is what we know as God within existence is not fully God, but they're revelations of God. So let me break it down. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God was there, but nothing existed. There was nothing. But God, within nothing, created. So, and God created time. God created space. God created matter. But God himself, God, is outside of all of those. Now, there is one case in history where God entered existence. Do you guys know what that would be?
Jesus
Christ. Yes, exactly. Jesus, God incarnate, in existence. That was God. But mankind didn't really receive God. Instead, they really chased God out, crucifying God, not accepting the true and living God. So how are we doing?
Good.
Cruising with this? God is beyond existence. The main point with this is if we try to look for God within existence, we arrive at something that is not God. Because God is far beyond existence. Do we? Mind blown, but we're cruising? Yeah? Okay, good. This is good. So tonight, we're not going to look at what God is. We're not going to look at how God is. We're not going to look at what God is like. We're not going to look at what we need to believe about God. All we're going to look at is that God is. God is. And Hebrews 11, verse 6, our passage tonight, says, he who comes to God must believe that he is. He who comes to God must believe that God is. But I want to look at why we should believe in God. Why should we believe that God is real? What are some reasons that God has given us, displaying himself, revealing himself into existence? What are some of those reasons he's given us that we should believe God? And then we're going to look at some reasons outside of what he's given us that can help us believe God. So first thing we're going to look at are internal reasons, just like we did last week, internal reasons within Scripture to believe God, to believe in God, believe that God is. And then we're going to look at external reasons, reasons outside of Scripture that we should believe in God. Is everybody cruising?
Yeah.
Following along?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. If you have a question, or Cameron, do you want to ask your question now?
Yeah. What was my question?
Oh, it was, if God is all powerful, if God is all powerful, why can't God lie? Do you remember? Oh, yeah. You just blew your mind again. Okay, so let's get started looking at the internal reasons. So these reasons are the most important. These are the ones that we need to focus on. These are the steak in the potatoes. These are literally, honestly, it's the whole meal. These are the things that we need to focus in on and that we need to take from. The things outside of the Bible, the external proofs, are kind of just like little sprinkles. A little dash of salt. That's it. They're not the meal at all. But first internal reason to believe God is creation. So the Bible tells us that if we want a good reason to believe in God, all we have to do is go for a walk outside. Or nowadays, scroll through Google Maps. Right? Am I right? Because who walks anymore? Oh, you walk? Do you still walk? Wow, that's awesome. I'm impressed. But check this out. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." So when we want a good reason to believe in God, here the Bible is telling us all we have to do is go outside and see how the heavens declare the glory and the handiwork of God. Nature screams of a creator. So most scientists in the world currently, they would say that the idea that the world is so harmonious and so in balance is not proof of a designer, but proof of chance. Which is, oh, what was that? Oh, is that what that was? Oh, okay, that's okay. I thought it was like something popping. So, most scientists currently, they deny the idea that the harmony, the balance, and every good and positive and like balance, literal balance in nature, they deny that it was designed. They believe that it just happened by chance. Shh, guys, pay attention. This is, I know it seems simple, but this is fundamental stuff. It's very important. But there are scientists who are literally in labs currently, maybe not right now, they might be at home, but their job is to be in labs trying to make the building blocks of life in what they think would be the chemicals that could have created life. And so they believe, literally, they believe that if after all this work that they do, if they can recreate just one small building block of life, that they can prove that it happened by chance. If they can work all that time in a laboratory trying to get the correct conditions to create the building block of life, just one, they believe that that proves it can happen by chance. Do you guys see the kind of logical issue? There's a little bit of a logical issue with that, because then the chance that it could happen is very, 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 very small. Grace. I think it's probably been like a good 10 years. I would say 10 years. Does any leader know that? They were doing it. Oh, yeah. And now they're going a little bit. Yeah. Chef. They are the designers. Yes, exactly. I totally agree. Cameron. How we can what? Foam animals? Wait. Oh, no. Cloning is different because I think they're taking cells. And I'm not up on that to even give remotely a good answer. But I don't think they're creating life. They're taking aspects of one thing's life and then multiplying it in a controlled environment. I'm disappointed that I knew how to communicate that. That's lame. I'm a nerd. Don't judge me. Okay, second reason to believe God within Scripture, internal reason. God reveals the future. This can sound kind of funny, but God does, and He does it really well. God has the ability to look into the future, not even really look into the future, because when we do that, we're putting God within an existence, but God has the ability to know the future and then communicate it to man. And right now, God has 100% accuracy. Yes, 100% accuracy. Isaiah 44, verse 7 says, "Who is like me? Let him step forward and prove to you his power. Let him do as I have done since ancient times when I established the people and explained its future." The Bible is filled with prophecies. Filled with prophecies where God has said what will happen in the future. The Bible has over 2,500 prophecies. That's a lot. Dude, that's a lot of prophecies. And over 2,000 of those prophecies have happened, like word for word happened. It's crazy. And the other 500 that have not happened, for those of you who are like, what about the 500? Those are things that are to come. Some of them are unfolding currently, right now before our eyes, or preparing to occur right now, currently in history. So not only does God claim to tell the future, but when we look in the Bible, we see times where He said something would happen, and then years or so later, it happened. A really good example, in Psalm 22, David writes from the perspective of Jesus, exactly some of the things that occur on the cross. Exactly some of the things that occur on the cross. And you could say, well, couldn't Jesus have just planned that and like rehearsed it and set it on the cross? Yes, he could have. But the fact that Jesus, the same person who was born in a manger, the same person who is of the lineage of David, the same person who could turn water into wine, the fact that that person said that while he was being crucified is huge. And it's God's prophecy coming into fulfillment. That, I mean, I know we hear this a lot, but it should blow our minds. This is big. Okay, third internal reason to believe that God is. And this is a personal longing. God tells us that each person not only has this, but was created with a longing for something that is beyond the here and beyond what is now and what is just here on earth. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts." Listen to that wording. Eternity has been created into the hearts of humans. Except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. So it results in this dissonance, this thing that seems like it should add up, but it doesn't. We have this natural God-given longing for eternity, but we can't see it. It hasn't been revealed to us fully. And so there's this uneasiness that comes from it. And we see this uneasiness everywhere. In like so many of the new songs written about suicide, it's crazy how many people are writing about suicide. And a lot of times it's positive, they're helping people that are having suicidal thoughts. But the fact that our mainstream music is having to write about suicide the way it is a big deal. We see this the way so many people are abusing drugs just to escape, prescription drugs that they're getting from a therapist or a psychiatrist. We see this in the rise in Eastern religions and meditation in our area of the world. And it's people looking for more, looking for meaning beyond the here and now. They're answering that created eternity that is within their hearts. They're feeling it and they're answering it. And God tells us that personal desire that is within us is a proof of Him. It's proof that there is more. If there wasn't more, why would we desire it? Why wouldn't we just be okay with the results of death and pain and everything else and kind of boringness of life and the harshness of life? We long for more, even though it's something that people have been dealing with from the beginning of humanity. Yes, Josh.
Why that you just look for that? I mean, we're not like just looking for that life because we're afraid of when we die, what's going to happen, what's going to happen.
Exactly, but that fear, or that even what is going to happen, if there was not that inward eternity, why would we have that? If we knew that this is the here and now and that's all there is, why would there be a question of even after? Why would we have that and pursue it and wonder and dream about it consistently? So now we're going to get into the external reasons. And these are the ones that people love getting in arguments about. Don't use them for this. These are not ways to make atheist people look dumb. It's not a reason to do that. These aren't ways to get mad at people and be like, oh, dude, don't you know this? But it's just to help you guys in your belief that God is. So the first reason.
Oh, man.
The first reason is morality. Natural morality. Every single culture has a strong sense of right and wrong. None of them are directly in line with God's word because we're imperfect people, but a lot of them across cultures line up. It's really interesting to study. But even though it usually goes against man's natural desire, even though it goes against what man wants in that moment, even though it goes against the laws of nature, human beings have morals. And God is a very good explanation for where those morals came from. Because they're beyond what humans want. They're beyond what humans are oftentimes able to follow. And little kids are able to feel guilt and shame long before they can even comprehend what right and wrong is. Guilt and shame are some of the first feelings that human beings feel. And they're not going to be able to comprehend the impact of their actions for a couple of years, really a few years. But they have this feeling when they do something wrong, that it's wrong. And little kids feel it. Most little kids also feel bad when they hurt someone with their actions. So when they go and grab for that toy and they accidentally knock a kid over or punch them and that kid cries, most little kids respond with crying because they feel wrong. They feel something wrong within that. And it's not even something that at that young of an age that they can be taught. There's this natural inclination toward morality that human beings have. And a very good explanation for those morals is God. Now, last but not least, last reason to believe outside of Scripture that there is God. Evolution. I know, somebody's like, what? Evolution? Dude, you're crazy. What do you mean that's a reason for God? But hear me out. Hear me out with this. Evolution is the gradual development of something from a simple form to a complex form. That's what evolution is in a nutshell. And evolution, technically speaking, just that theory right there is true because species adapt over time. Animals that like move to the desert and have to stay there for a long time, after a few generations of animals, they'll get more comfortable in the heat. Animals that blend in with their environment start to take over that environment because they live a little longer because they blend in. This aspect of evolution is true. The issue is, or the part of evolution that is not true, is that everything evolved over billions, trillions of years to be what it is today. And here's why it's not true. Because evolution is progressive. And what that means is everything comes from something. This comes from that. That comes from this. That turns into these. Those turns into those and those and those and that and that. You get the idea. So since, and track with me on this, since evolution is progressive, if we could hop in a time machine and travel back in time, we should be able to get to a point in time where there were just three things. And then if we go a little further back, probably evolutionarily speaking, a lot further back, there would be two things. And then if we go further back, there would be one thing. Now, according to the theory of evolution, that one thing has to come from something, right? If evolution is true, the theory that we evolved from over billions of trillions of years, that one thing has to come from nothing. But if there's, or no, not nothing. One thing has to come from something. But if it's just one thing, then how does that happen? How do we do it? It can't come from nothing because that's impossible. It's literally impossible. And it couldn't have come from something else because then it's not the one first thing. So evolution, the grand theory of evolution, requires something that is eternal in that even when it is outside of existence. When there is nothing, it can still be. And it requires that to have at least gotten things started. And God is a really good explanation for that thing that can exist within, or not even within, along with nothing, and create out of nothing. Are we mind blown? How are we tracking with that one? Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's because when we look at how animals behave, they progress, they change over time. And so the logic would be to say that we all came from one thing. But then to follow that, we have to get to a point where there was nothing, or where there was just one thing, but that one thing has to be eternal and has to be able to recreate out of nothing. And there is, I mean, they're looking hard to find something like that, but there is nothing like that. God is a great explanation for what that can be. And now we know when we look to Genesis that we see that God did all of that in six literal days. But taking the theory of evolution and following it all the way down gives us a good idea that there has to be something like God, something that exists within, outside of nothing, kind of literally. We're tracking, right? We got that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So as we come to a close, the belief in God, the issue with this is it seems so simple, but it is complex, and it's important. But God doesn't make his presence super obvious. God doesn't make it super obvious to believe that he is. You know, you can't just go outside and you can't just measure God, or you can't shift God in this way to prove that he exists here. But God reveals himself just enough for us to put our faith in him. And this is the important part. Hebrews 11:6, this is why we started. Oh man, I didn't put it there. This is why we started with this verse, because it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. We will always need faith to believe in God. Until we go to heaven, we will need faith. I personally believe that the evidence that is there to prove God or to display God is enough to show that he is a being. But that's not how it is for most people, so I'm not going to talk to you guys like it is, like it's super obvious. There's nothing that I can do, there's nothing that you can do that will 100% prove that God is. All we can do is examine how he has revealed himself and see what is there and learn from those things And it's a lot. Don't get me wrong, it is a lot, but there will always be the requirement for faith. For us to choose, even though we don't have all the answers, even though we can't step out of existence and experience something that is outside of existence, which is God, there is a point where we have to put faith in Him. And this is, if you take anything from this is the most important. To place our faith in God. Because we will never have all the answers. We never will. And so these things, the inerrancy of Scripture and the being of God, the belief that God is real, these are huge. And you need to work these through. In your small group or just personally, you need to work through these because these are the building blocks of every single Christian doctrine that we are going to look at. So if you have not fully put your faith in the being of God, ask yourself. Ask yourself that question. As we go into small groups, ask hard questions. Don't just assume faith, but really ask yourself, have I put my faith in this? Have I put belief in this? Have my questions been answered? Can those questions be answered, or will I have to choose faith? So let's break up into small groups. Let me pray for us. And, we got a few minutes. So just discuss this in small groups. Pray for one another, too. This is a deep thing. I promise from this point on, once you wrestle with this, things get simpler. They don't get easier to always roll with, but they get more simple. But the being of God is huge. The reality of God that He is, it's huge. And it's so important. So really talk about it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for Your Word, that it reveals things to us that is far beyond our understanding and comprehension. We pray that You would be in our small groups, guide our conversations, help us to ask questions that may be on our mind or on our heart, and to challenge not each other, but challenge ourselves, so that we can confidently say that no matter what comes our way, we have faith in You. We believe that You are God and that You are, that You are real. So be in the rest of our time, we pray. Continue to speak to us about this topic. We give You the rest of this night, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.